Hi everyone, this is Alex Staropoli from Rhapsody of Fire and you are listening to Radio Lublin.
Kołowrót. Alex, first of all, I wanted to say a big thank you for that interview. At first, I wanted to ask you about how your music way has got into shape. Was it any moment on the timeline where you decided that you will perform and write epic music with a symphonic attitude?
Yeah, well, Luca and myself at the time, we were totally caught up in soundtracks, in movies, and fantasy imaginary, you know. So this already gives a lot of energy, a lot of ideas when you want to do something grand, pompous, and use heavy metal as a platform to build something more complex and orchestrated. So yeah, it was always it was like watching a movie in Conan the Barbarian or Lord of the Rings and wanting to recreate this into the music we do. So it was like an exciting idea that made everything possible, you know. It was really a nice push, the desire to do that.
Have you ever had a feeling in those times that your music will become some kind of emblem, inspiration for another generations?
Well, we never thought about that. Really, we never did. We just were so concentrated on what we wanted to do. And the idea to imagine to be a heavy metal band from Italy, I mean, you had close to zero chance to do anything in the market of the world. But we said, no, I think the idea we have, it could compete with all the bands that we like, which at the time were like Blind Guardian or Manowar or Yngwie Malmsteen and Helloween or whatever, you know, many, many bands that were very big at the time already before us. So we wanted to, the idea was to be, you know, to build our own sound, our own identity and be able to reach the fame of the bands we loved. And we said, yeah, we are Italian and who cares? We just know the idea is great. And in fact, once we went in the studio for the first time, we realized that what we were doing was taking the shape, even a better shape than what we thought in the beginning. I mean, with a good sound and good drum sound, bass sound, guitar sounds, everything, you know. So, and once we were in the studio, we already had everything. We didn't enter the studio experimenting. We already had tons of material, arrangement, orchestra, and you know, all the ideas were already there. Since 6 years before, we already had songs that went into Legendary Tales, Symphony Vincente Lenz. So we had a lot of material we could use, and it was, you know, it's the fact that it influenced so many bands after, it was a surprise, something we didn't even think.
Anyway, Rhapsody of Fire in a short time stood up at the front of the new music genre named European Power Metal. I bet that you know or felt that you are the leading band of some kind of new movement.
Yes, this happened around 1999, after we released Symphony of Vincente Lenz with all the orchestra and the choir, for sure. You have band in the 70s that did that, you know, and playing with an orchestra and playing with this and that. But it was never done with, you know, with the intention to sound in that way, you know. And really, yeah, of course, Led Zeppelin used the flute, but what we did was completely different. We really used a Baroque ensemble, yeah. Renaissance music, you know, and quartets, string quartets. And then we went on with the big orchestra and the big choirs. So the shape for the sound we wanted, it was really like to recreate a movie, you know, like a soundtrack. And the more we went on composing music, the more we were capable of doing that. With Symphony of Vincente Lenz Part 2 or Triumph for Agony, where we work with Christopher Lee and we could do this amazing connection with the real movie world, you know. So, yeah, I think that many bands, what I see and what is annoying to see for me is like to see bands and they call themselves like with all this fantastic names, fantasy names, but in reality their music has nothing to do with their name. Still today, after so many years, there are bands calling themselves Symphonica or, I don't know, orchestra or something, you know. And then you listen to music, it's pathetic, you know. So if, you know, Rhapsody of Fire wants to do the best they can, you know, and I work really all the time, every day, to ensure that the result is in line with what we did in the past and is also looking into the future, you know. So, yeah, this is a bit annoying that so many bands now, they are taking this symphonic thing, seems they invented something. Yeah. It's not true.
Okay, Alex, let's talk about inspirations now. Rhapsody of Fire connecting classic music with heavy metal. Which one of these genres are closer to your heart and more inspiring?
It's really both. And what you say also triggers my interest, because yes, we play heavy metal, but the way of composing, it's orchestral since the beginning. It's not that I compose an heavy metal song and then I add some orchestral elements. The composition starts with the idea that the true elements has to be, you know, connected together, you know. So many metal bands, they compose their metal music and then they add on top some orchestration, which is fine. But what I do is really starting from scratch, using, you know, classical themes and, you know, different, you know. It's like I'm writing a soundtrack where there will be also an heavy metal band. So, yeah, that's what I do since many years. So it's, for me, it's natural to do it, you know. So maybe some people, they, I don't know, it's not easy to explain or to understand, but, yeah, you know, this is my approach.
In Rhapsody of Fire songs, except obvious symphonic sounds, there are also a lot of folk tunes. What do you think? Why folk fits to your music so well?
I don't know, probably because it's anyway connected to the fantasy world. If you listen to the Lord of the Rings soundtracks, for example, the first for the first movie they released, you have the dramatic moment, then you have this folkish music connected to the Shire images, you know, and there is the violin, there is some tambourines, so it's kind of popular music in that environment. So it makes sense in a way. It's connected. I don't know why really, but it's part of the fantasy imaginary, I'm sure.
Yeah, by the way, a lot of musicians state that folk elements are quite natural for many modern music genres.
In a way, I think it's connected. Once you pick a classic guitar or acoustic guitar, it's you can already, and then you have a woman singing or a flute player, it's magic. Immediately it's different, but still you can use electric guitar afterwards, you know, so it's, I think it's, you know, there's a lot of music before heavy metal, and beside medieval, Renaissance, and there's Celtic music and Irish. So I also use all these influences and they connect so well.
Yeah.
It's great.
Alex, your band exists for more than 20 years, and in your discography there are a lot of important and amazing albums. Anyway, I'm curious, are you able to compare between the new one, Glory for Salvation, and the most popular one, Symphony of Enchanted Lands?
No, I don't think it's you cannot make a comparison, really, because every album is... It's a product, it's special for, you know, it stands for itself, you know. So Legendary Tales started the saga, Symphony just exploded it, and Dawn of Victory was the more metal one, and then, you know, so every album is special. I must say that with the introduction of Giacomo Voli, it's really a new story, a new sound, you know. So I think that from The Eighth Mountain to Glory for Salvation, it's a natural evolvement, you know. And then the next one, the next album which I'm working on, it's on the same you know, level, but more metal. So, yeah, regards to your question, it's not easy to compare. because, for example, in Glory for Salvation, there's really not so much Baroque elements as in the Eight Mountain, where we have White Wizard and, you know, different, you know, more folk. So it always depends. It always depends, you know, the material that Robbie gives me, the guitar parts, the riffing, and the next one will be more meta, for sure, because it just happened like this, you know.
Yeah, you mentioned Giacomo Volli, who had a really hard mission to substitute iconic singer Fabio Lione.
Mission started in many years ago already, so yeah. Yeah, it's true, in the beginning it was, you know, kind of aware that he was substituting a very good singer, you know, so... But, you know, when I saw him on TV, I saw Giacomo, I don't know if you know the story, but I was just watching TV, just changing channel, and then I saw this guy singing, and I said, well, what is this program about? And it was this The Voice Italy. And I said, wow, this guy is so cool. And I always in search, at the time, still Fabio was still in the band, but I always was searching for good people for choir. And I said, this guy, you know. And I contacted him, and he told me, yeah, I have a lot of students. We can build a nice choir. So he came to Trieste at the time in the studio we were recording Into the Legend. And we did a lot of choirs with him. That's where I met him the first time, you know. And I liked the guy, and we did all the choirs of the album, etc. Then after some time, and when Fabio departed, I immediately asked Giacomo if he wanted to try, you know, he wanted to be part of the band. He accepted it, and we recorded Legendary Years, and from there we started. So now, you know, we stand by ourselves. We just work with together with almost 7 years or something, you know. So this part of the past, of course, we have an historical past which I respect,
yeah,
and which I like, you know, what we did, but now it's a different time.
In your current concert set list, there's a few old tracks, but it looks like you're not focusing only on the old hits, because there are also a lot of new tracks.
We have invested a lot in the new songs, in the new production. It's also true that it depends also on how much time we play, because normally we, in the previous tour, we play 2 hours, for example, and when you play 2 hours, you can insert many songs from the past. Now, in this section of tour, we play 1.5 hours, and so we had a limited time to be able to play what we want to play, you know. So it's true, now we play a little less song from the past, but it's great to see the response of the fans when we play the first part of the show. It's like the first 3 songs are from the past, and they are from the latest releases, and the fans know it. The fans sing it like it's a song from the past, and this is a very good sign. This is also a stimulus for us to go on and offer both, you know. We offer the new material, the old material, we combine them together. And I think it's the fans really understood what we do. It's not because of some fashion, is that we do it because we love it, you know. Yeah. We love the music we do.
Today you are playing in a very untypical venue. I bet that you are not playing in the radio studios pretty often.
Yeah, well, it happened a few times in the past, but this it's a very special environment, first of all, because the sound is very dry, very clean, and this is like fantastic, you know. Yeah. And easier job for the band and for the sound engineer. And actually, so far, the day has been fantastic, really, because we were welcomed, and the venue is fantastic, the stage is great. So, yeah, this is one of the best venues I've seen lately. Yeah, really.
I hope that you are not saying that just because you are here and you're talking with me in the radio studio, yeah?
It's true. You just fans will come here tonight and we see the place and we hear the sound. It's funny. This is a radio place. The last time I was in a place like this, I was in Bulgaria, in Sofia, recording the orchestra, and there was a facility like this, and it's fantastic. For I'm sure you also do recordings here. It's really the best you can imagine, you know. Fantastic idea. Thank for this person that brought this to reality, because it's great. if we would have a venue like this every night, that would be another life, really.
Yeah, I'm
it's beautiful, really.
Коловрот.